a little bit about Chorban and the opposite of Chorban. As we'll see, there is a fascinating Briska Rav. The Griz, you have it in source number one. The Briska Rav, it's quoted in the Lekach Tov, which is a great modern compilation of many of the Bali Musar. So he points out that we know we have 13 animamins, and only one of the animamins gets an afalpi. Only one of the animamins gets an afalpi. I believe, and even though it's challenging, and even though I still believe. So which is that? That, of course, is the one about Mashiach. Animam emunah shleima b'vias haMashiach. I believe that Mashiach is coming. V'afalpi sheyisvameya. And even though it is delayed and it's taking a very long time, achakelah, I'm still waiting. So why is that, asked the Briska Rav, why is that the only one with an afalpi? No, there are other ones that could have an afalpi. So for example, animam emunah shleima, I believe that Hashem doesn't have a body. And even though there are psukim that give off the impression that Hashem has a nose and Hashem has a hand and Hashem has a finger, I still believe that Hashem has a body. I does not have a body. So you can make an afalpi for that one. Or animam emunah shleima in schar va'onesh. I believe in reward and punishment. And even though I look around and it seems tzadik v'ra lo, rasha v'tov lo, and I can't understand schar va'onesh, I still believe it. So why is this the only one that gets an afalpi? You could have a lot of, you know, afalpis, even those. So suggests the Briska Rav, this isn't an afalpi of, oh, ahava mina otherwise, but, you know, this is what I believe. I could have thought otherwise, but not. No, says the Briska Rav, it's a second stage of the animam. There's two aspects of the animamin of Mashiach. Animamin munah shleima b'vias Mashiach, I have to believe in it. I have to know in my mind that it's going to happen. And then number two, I have to hope for it every second. And I have to yearn for it. That's the afalpi line. It's not just the havamina. The afalpi sheyisvameya achakelo. That's the emphasis. Achakelo b'chol yom sheyavo. I will wait. Look in the middle of source number one. Aval ha'emes she'ein kan kal kushi b'teretz. It's not a question and an answer. Ela, and again, those who are just writing, you have the sources. We just sent them out to the group. If you're not, if you can't like look at it and write at the same time, it's fine. I'll read it. Ela shemuvuarim kan shnei ha'inyanim she'nakara rambam b'halacha ha'mesutetes b'rosh ma'amareinu b'dvar mevuar shelo daila hamin bo bilvad. It's not just about believing. Ela shemuchuyavim lios. We have to hope, we have to yearn. Any second. Every second. And that's why it says, Bechol Yom, right? Not just Bechol Yom. He says on the bottom, Bechol Yom, Ela Bechol Hayom. Kilishuascha Kivinu Kol Hayom. All of the day. Meaning, even if it didn't come earlier in the day, I'm waiting for it towards the end of the day. That has to be part of what we who we are. Again, especially this time of year, we have to at least try. You know, we all have kavana, I think, extra kavana in certain brachas these days. Probably Rafa'inu, I hope, we're having extra kavana in. Maybe Baruch Aleinu, people's parnasa has been affected. Last Thursday, I went up north with my family for a day. So we met a tour guide, and he was just telling us, you know, understand the effect of, obviously we know, but obviously tour guiding is shot, you know, nobody. But there are all these businesses that are connected to birthright, these stores and these business, and like, it's nothing. Like, you can imagine the ripple effect of so many different things. So Baruch Aleinu, we have Kavana, but at least this week, let's try to have a little extra kavana in to kabisho for gadol lecheruseinu, hashiva shofteinu liushalayim yircha esemach David, to think about it, to realize the loss, and to be able to daven that it comes every second. So let's talk a little bit about what we lost, so we'll be able to know what we want to get back, and what we're davening for. Okay, three questions. Always good to start off with three questions. One of my classes in my Jewish education master's in Azraeli. Threes are always good. It's not too much that people can't remember, but it's not too little. We just have one question. So threes. Threes are always good. I like threes. Question one. There are many Gemaras that talk about why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. You have in front of you three of them. Three of them. Two out of three. One is very famous. One is semi-famous. And one is not so famous. The famous one you have in Yuma Daftes. First Beis HaMikdash, the big three Averos. But the second Beis HaMikdash, which we're still suffering from, Sinas Chinam. Number one, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. Number one. But, oh, by the way, I forgot, if anybody wants, I'm probably doing, I don't know if it's going to be recorded, and I don't know if the time's probably not going to work out for everybody, but I'm probably doing Eicha and a few keynotes at night on Zoom, because of my shul, you know, so all the keynotes, we're probably going to have a couple hours of keynotes on Zoom, so those in Israel or in England, probably could latch on if you want, but again, I'll let you know if it's recorded or not. But all of my notes are in camp. That's the problem. So I have to, you know, redo, you know, the keynotes from, you know, finding new svarim. But anyway, there are some people that bury their keynotes every year. Like, I'm not going to need this next year. We're talking about, you know, hoping Mashiach's coming every day. What, you're going to put away your keynotes back on the shelf next to your machzor for Rosh Hashanah? What kind of emunah is that? But, you know, we're also realists. We're also realists. So we have to, just in case, you know, you gotta believe. Anyway, so first reason, Sinas Chinam. Second Gemara. Gemara tells us in Nedarim Pei Aleph. Nedarim Pei Aleph. Amar of Yudam Arav. Mai Dechsiv Miha Isha Chacham B'yamin Ezoz. Who can understand this based on a pasuk in Yirmiyo? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Lo shamu b'koli, lo hilchu ba, amar v'yudam harav, she'en mevarchin b'Torah t'chila. They didn't say Birchas HaTorah. They didn't say Birchas HaTorah. Again, very famous, not as famous as the first one, but famous question. What does that mean? They learned Torah. They didn't say Birchas HaTorah. They weren't interested in making the bracha. What's so hard about saying Birchas HaTorah? Question two. Number three, third Gemara by Mitzia Daf Lamed says the Gemara Rabbi Yochanan. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because people didn't go lefnim Mishuras Adin. They just went letter of the law, Danu Din Torah. They didn't give an inch. That was why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So first of all, how can it be three different reasons? Sinas Chinam, Lo Mavarchin, and Danu Din Torah. Is there any way that we could connect these three Gemaras, these three ideas, in some unified way to try to come up with a approach to the Churban Bais? That's all question one. That's all question one. Question two. Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Sadi Vav. This has not been done yet in famous Gemaras. Rather Hashem, hopefully one day. Says the Gemara Tzadivav, Adlik Beinura, when Titus put fire to the Beis HaMikdash, he lit it on fire. Adlik Beinura, that's the Gemara. Gava Hechla, Darchu Ba Min Shmaya. Right, he felt very good about himself. And Kazicha Daite, and he's like, hey, look at me. I'm destroying God's house. Nafka Basko Ba'amrale, a Basko goes out and says, hey, Titus, you think you're so great? Ama Ketila Katlus. You've killed an already dead nation. You think you killed them. They were dead before you came in. You killed a dead nation. Hechla Kalya Kalis. You burnt a burnt building. Meaning it was already earmarked to be burned. You didn't do anything, Titus. Those two are okay. Third phrase, Kimcha Tchina Tchinis. You ground up already ground flour. Kimcha Tchina Tchinis. As did the word Tchina, ground up. Ground up, used as a dip. But question, we understand the first two phrases because that's like literal. You killed a dead nation. You burned a burnt house. Okay. What's the grain? What is that helping me, my understanding? Ground up flour. You ground up. What does that add? Number two. So number one, how do you put together all the reasons for the Churban? Number two, what's this phrase of Titus? Kimcha Tchina Tchinas. Number three. Number three, source number six, Sanhedrin Sadiches, two daf later. This is a, also belongs on the famous Gemara's list. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Ashkech Lelio. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi once found Elio Anavi, that he came up his chadim arsa the Rishon Bayachoy. He was sitting in Meron. Elio Anavi was in Meron, outside the cave of Rashbi. Amale, Asina Lal Madasi, he asked Elio, am I going to Olam Haba? Do I have a good seat? Do I have a good seat there? Amale, Im Yirtza Adon Azeh. Im Yirtza Hashem was his basic answer. That's where that phrase comes from. Elio Anavi said, Im Yirtza Hashem. Im Yirtza Ha'adon Azeh. If this master wants, that's where it comes from. Im Yirtza Hashem. Amre B'Shua Ben Levi. Shnayim Reisi, because Shlosha Shamati. I only see two of us, but I hear a third voice, meaning the Shechina was there. The Shechina was there somewhere. I'm sure Ben Levi heard something. Okay. Amar Lei, Amos Asi Mashiach. Yeshua Ben Levi asks Elio, when is Mashiach coming? Amar Lei, Zil Shilei. Why don't you go ask him? Go ask him. Hey, Chayasev, where's he sitting? Apischa Deromi. At the door of Rome, whatever that means. So he goes, oh, my, see money. How do I know who he is? What's he wearing? How am I going to know he's Mashiach? Yosef Beni Ani Sovle Chalaim. He's sitting amongst the poor and the sick. What is the sick? Mefarshim say Tsaras. He has Tsaras and he's poor and he's sitting in that group. So I didn't give you the rest of the Gemara. He goes and meets Mashiach, and he says, when are you coming? He says, hayo, I'm coming today. He runs back, and he's so excited, and he didn't come. And he says to Elio Anavi, Elio, Mashiach lied. So what do you mean? What did he say to you? He says, hayom. No, you don't understand. It's hayom dot, dot, dot. Hayom in bekol tishmo. Right? If you deserve it, if you listen today, then you can come. Okay, but that's the end. Question. Why is Mashiach described as poor with tzaras? And some of Farshim say that Mashiach is a remez to all of Am Yisrael. So Am Yisrael are poor with Saras. Those are two of the four people that we know are considered dead. So why Dafka we can compare to those? Right? Somebody without children, somebody blind, or the other two. Why is Mashiach, and therefore maybe Am Yisrael, described as poor and Saras when they're in Gullus? Those are the three questions. Number one, how do we put together the three reasons for the Churban? Number two, why did the Baskel say to Titus, you ground up ground flour already? You didn't do anything. Number three, why is Mashiach described as poor with Saras? Okay. So there is, I didn't give it to you, but there is, it's a beautiful Sefer. You might have it on your shelves of the Sfarim that you got for your bar mitzvah, maybe. Sometimes you go back after the year in Eretz Yisrael, you look back like, wow, I didn't realize I have all this stuff. But Baruch Hashem, but somewhere in your house it might be. Rav Lopiansky from Silver Spring, he has a number of Sfarim out. But one of them is called Timepieces. Timepieces, which is about the Yom Tovim. So in there, he has a discussion about Tisha B'Av. And he mentions there the following idea. That in the Hebrew language, sometimes you have a word that if you switch around the letters of the word, you could find its opposite, or sometimes a synonym. So for example, oneg and nega, the Mefarshim point out, are opposites. Oneg is enjoyment. Nega means an illness that we have to be away from you. Oneg and nega, same letters. Bracha and bechor. Or those two, bracha, bechor is a bracha, and brecha, maybe. So if you switch around letters, bracha and bechor, those are also connected. So he suggests churban is connected an opposite of chibur, of connection. Chibur means connection. Churban means destruction. But, says Rav Lobyansky, really, when you want to destroy something, there are two ways to destroy it. Two ways that it can be destroyed. I could pulverize something. I could burn something. I could take something and burn it up. If I burn something up, it's destroyed. It's done. It's never coming back. That's one way to break something, to destroy it, make it into ashes. But there's another way of, there's another idea of churban. If I dismantle or dismember something, if I separate the parts of something, I also was machriv it. I also destroyed it. But it's a type of destruction that I could put back together. It's a type of destruction that it's not usable in its state, but the pieces still exist, and eventually it could be reconnected. When Hashem performs Churban Beis HaMikdash, which type of Churban was it? Did he destroy us totally, that we're totally pulverized like ashes? No. We just became disconnected. We became separated. We lost our chibur through churban. The churban made us disconnected, dismembered. If you look in the Rashi in Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, Rashi says there, let me just go back for a second to ask this as a question. Ask this as a question. Again, if you need a Dvar Torah for this Shabbos or for next Shabbos, next 90 seconds is your Dvar Torah for Shabbos. Besides, if you want to listen to the Parsha Shiras online from last night. But either way, question. When do we, right now we're in the 9 days. When do we start feeling a little bit lighter? When do we start feeling like we feel the nechama a little bit already? When do we start feeling that? So if we were really honest, if we were really maybe, you know, very orthodox observant people, we would say, well, you know, Chatzos of the 10th of Av, that's when I start feeling it. Okay, great. But I think if we ask ourselves honestly, when do we start feeling different, a little let up? Tisha B'Av afternoon, right? After Chatzos, we start sitting on chairs. We put on our tefillin. We're already thinking about laundry. You know, we're already thinking about, you know, post on Tisha B'Av afternoon. And remember the Gemara in Tainus? That's exactly when the Beis HaMikdash really started burning. And Rabbi Yochanan said if it was up to him, he would make the 10th of Av. So why Dafka at that moment when it got so bad? Dafka then, we start, you know, relaxing and feeling better about ourselves? Rav Soloveitchik says such a beautiful idea. Says Rav Soloveitchik, up until the last moment, up until the Churban, nobody knew for sure, even the angels didn't know. Was Hashem going to punish the perpetrators? Was Hashem going to punish the ones who really deserve punishment, meaning the Jews? Was he going to destroy the Jews, Chas v'Shalom, or was he going to take a mashkon? Or was Hashem going to take security instead? And up until the last moment, it wasn't clear what it was going to be. The second that Titus put his fire to the Beis HaMikdash and the building started burning, ironically, what did that show? Hashem loves us. Hashem will never let us go. And Hashem is with B'nai Yisrael for eternally. Ironically, that's what happens. And that's why we feel a little better in the afternoon. Because that's exactly what we realize. Hashem loves us. And that's our nechama. What Shabbos nechama? We still don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We're still missing. The answer is, but we have a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem will never desert us. And Hashem will never destroy us. But to say it a little differently, to use Rabbi Lobyansky's words, you know what happened at that moment? Hashem decided, what type of churban is this going to be? Not churban type 1. Churban type 2. not the destruction pulverizing, but the separation. The dismemberment. That's the type of churban it's going to be. Oh, I'm going to separate the Jews. And separation is different because that means there's going to come a time when they can come back together. Right? Think back to the first galus in history. What was the first galus in history? Very, very early on, Cain. Cain was sent into galus. Navanud, the wanderer. Totally separated, not connected. That's what Hashem did. And that's what a churban is, separation. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, if somebody is Mesameach Chasen Bekala, it's Ki'ilu they built up Echon Micharvos Yerushalayim. As if they built up one of the churvas, one of the broken, burned houses. What's the connection between dancing at a wedding and building up Echad Michorvos Yerushalayim? Ah, if you think about it, the wedding is a celebration of the ultimate chibur. A wedding celebrates connection. The ultimate connection between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. If we celebrate that chibur, so that's ki'ilu, you built up one of the churvos, because that's the ultimate chibur with us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we'll see. Because that's what happened. Churban was separation. When we dance at a wedding, we're celebrating togetherness and connection. What did the Baskol tell Titus? Titus, you burned up a house already burned. You ground up flour already ground. What does that mean? Beautiful. This Rav Lubyansky. Titus, you think you destroyed them, pulverized them. You think you destroyed Churban type 1? No, no, no. What's flour? Flour means you ground, you took wheat, you ground it up into flour, right, which is now separated pieces, but you're going to make it into a dough. Titus, you just ground it into flour. It's separation. It's not destruction. And that's very different. And that's why Mashiach is poor and with saras. Because those two, if we think about the four people who are compared to mace, two of them are because they're separated from something. Right? One makes an ani, chashav kemace. He's separated from assets. He's separated. He has churban. He's separated from connecting to money. A tzmitzora sits outside the machaneh. He's disconnected to the am. Those two describe Am Yisrael and Galus. They're disconnected. And that's why Mashiach is described like that. So we've defined churban. Churban means disconnected, separated. But let me ask you, what did we become disconnected from? What are we separated from? Churban means, right, we're like a ground up flower. What were we separated from? The Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma Daf Lamed. I quote this Gemara often because, again, it's a threes and there's a great classic marsha on it. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma Daf Lamed, back pocket, Amar of Yehuda, Haimad de Boilem Evi Chasida, whoever wants to be pious should involve himself in one of three things. First opinion, what Kai Emili did Azikin, to be involved in interpersonal, Nezek, laws of Nezek. Number two, Mili de Avos, Pirkei Avos. Biamrila Mili de Brachos. Third, Brachos. What are these three opinions? Nezek, Pirkei Avos, Brachos, says the Marsha, three areas of our life. Ben Adam Lamakom, Ben Adam Lachavero, Ben Adam La'atzma. If we want to be a chassid, we should be osek in mili de nezikin. Ben Adam La'chavero. Mili de brachos. Ben Adam La'mako. Mili de Avos, Pirkei Avos, working on our own spiritual, religious personality, Ben Adam La'atzmo. Maybe what we became separated from, Churban, was we lost the connection in these three areas. In these three areas, we lost our connection to Hashem, we lost our connection to each other, we lost our connection to ourselves. And now let's return to the three Gemaras about the Churban. All right, what's the first Gemara? Let's start with the Gemara Nedarim. Shlo berchu b'Torah tchila. We didn't say berchu b'Torah. What does that mean? A lot has been written on it. But I just gave you the Ran. The Ran quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. Torah was not chashiv in their eyes to make a bracha on it. They learned. But they didn't realize that Torah connects them to Hashem. They didn't realize the impact that Torah could have. Shlo berchu b'Torah tchila. The Jews, we of that time, didn't connect to Hashem. We started the disconnect. You know what Hashem says? Okay, I'll finish the job for you. Churban. Once we started the disconnect, Hashem finished the job. But we lost the connection to Him. Shlo berchu b'Torah tchila. Number two, sinas chinam. That's obvious. We lost the connection to each other. What about the third one? Shelo danu din, that they were dan din Torah. They didn't give an inch. They didn't do lefi mishura sadin. What is that about? The Gemara tells us in Yevamos, there are three simanim of every Jew. Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gom lechasadim. We're kind, we're meek. Right? We're compassionate. We look at each other like one. Naturally, a Jew is a rachman to each other. Naturally, we'll give a little bit to our friend. When we done din Torah, when we didn't give an inch, then we weren't being true to ourselves. We weren't being true to ourselves, to who a Jew is. It's a great story that one saw. There was a man in one of the camps in the Shoah, that every night, in the middle of the night, he saw one of his barrack mates get up in the middle of the night, reach under the bed, pull out some type of uniform, put it on, button up his uniform, look into the, I don't know, look out, give a salute, and then quickly take off his uniform and run back into bed. And he thought he was dreaming. He was dreaming. One night, the third night, he realized this is for real. So he says, hey, you. He says, what? I didn't know anybody was awake. He says, what are you doing? He says, nothing. He says, no, tell me, what are you doing? He says, before the war, I was a general in the Polish army. I had a lot of honor and respect. In this place, you know, they don't let you be who you are and you forget who you are. I don't want to forget who I am. So every night I put on my uniform and I salute. So I remember who I am. At this time of year, maybe we've forgotten who we are. If we can't give an inch to each other, shadanu adin Torah, and alifnim mishur es adin. So then we're separated from ourselves. Those are the three Churbans. Those are the three Gemaras. Ben Adam Lamakom, Ben Adam Chaver, Ben Adam La'atzmo. Three Gemaras, and that's Churban. So the way that we get the Beis HaMikdash back is by showing Hashem we want these three connections. Right? If we started the separation and Hashem finished the job, then the way to get back is by showing Hashem that we want to be connected in all these areas, and that we need the connection. Number one, we need to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu and appreciate the connection that we have with Him. We have to live a life of Berchu B'Torah Tchila. We have to make sure that we're Mavarech. It's a beautiful Sefer Ikarim. I think I mentioned this in some of the Wednesday night Shiurim. The Sefer Ikarim in Surah 17 talks about what does it mean, Bris Bein HaBasarim? Right, a covenant between the parts. Remember the story? Avraham Avinu is told to cut an animal in half, and the fire goes in between. What kind of weird, you know, ceremony is that? And Rashi quotes that in those days, that's how everybody made covenants, treaties. You know, you cut an animal in half and walk in the middle of it. Well, what is that, the symbolism of that? It says the Sefer Yikarim, it's so beautiful. A covenant means when you take two parties and you say they're like one. You say they're united. What's the best way to say that two parties are becoming one? You take a whole item, you cut it in half, and you walk in between. As if to show that the two parties are now one, like these two halves of the animal. What else can you take two halves of? A table? What makes a table a table? You made the table. An animal is a unit. That was the Bris Ben HaBasarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went through with his fire, Kaviyachol, and Avram went through. We're connected to Hashem naturally. We have to make sure that we show that connection. We have to make sure that everybody realizes that connection. Because Hashem knows it. It goes back to then. And that was Bris Ben HaBasarim. And it goes all the way back then, and we have to make sure we realize. We have to show Hashem that we're interested in this connection. Right? We say on Yom Kippur, Anu Vanecha, so many ways we describe our relationship. Anu Vanecha Ve'ata Avinu. Anu Abadecha Ve'ata Adoneinu. We're connected to Hashem. We have to realize that we always need to keep that connection, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance. I'll tell you the story before about Natan Sharansky, the Tehillim. Remember that story? No? Should I say it again? Yeah, say it again. It's a story to remember. This right when he went into incarceration at the beginning of his. You know, he didn't know anything. He knew he wanted to get to Israel, but he wasn't from it at all. He didn't know. But when he went in and he was put in jail, his wife gave him his wife-to-be. He just got married that week during Shabbat Brachas, I think. He was taken away, and that was it. He didn't see his wife for decades. She gave him a Sefer Tehillim. Just take this. He didn't know how to read Hebrew. But he took it, and for some reason he connected to that Tehillim, and he kept it with him, and when they wanted to take it away from him, he went on hunger strikes. He did anything. And finally, after like a while, he started to try to read it, but he couldn't understand Hebrew. But because he's such a super mathematical genius, he somehow figured out the letters of the Hebrew language with how they were written. And I don't understand how exactly he did it, but he figured out, he taught himself Hebrew based on the letters. And he says that the first pasuk that he got the whole pasuk was, Gam ki elech begeitz al maves, lo ira ra ki ata yimadi. Hashem was always with me. That's the pasuk he says. It was like And there are so many stories about that Tehillim. Fast forward, about 10 years ago, there's a woman in Yerushalayim that gives shiurim about Tanakh. She says, you're right, she was online in a bakery on a Friday buying challahs, and she sees on the line in front of her was Natan Sharansky. You know, he was online buying stuff for Shabbos. And she says, wow, I talk about you in my class. I'm so excited to meet you. I always tell the story about your Tehillim. And he reaches into his pocket and he takes out his Sefer Tehillim. She says, you have it with you. You carry it wherever you go. And he said to her, I don't carry it. It carries me. And that's someone who's connected. And we have to do what we can to be connected and to show Hashem that we want that connection. So we need to reconnect to Hashem. Number two, we need to reconnect to each other to solve the sinas chinam problem. This, you remember, because I told this to you, we learned this together in Bereishis and in the Haggadah Shir. But it's appropriate now to repeat. The Gra on Alai. Alai kilalascha b'ni. Remember when Yaakov didn't want to steal the brachas? Rivka says, don't worry about it. Alai, you're not supposed to have tzaras from Yitzchak. Esav, Lavan, Yosef, Alai, Kilalas Chabini. Your klal is only going to be three tzaras. Esav, Lavan, and Yosef. Fast forward, says the Gra. The same word is used when Binyamin is being taken down to Mitzrayim. What does Yaakov say? Yosef einenu, v'shimon einenu, v'es Binyamin tikachu, alai hayu kulana. I'm only supposed to have alai. I'm only supposed to have ayin lamed yud. That's the Gra. Rav Asher Weiss says, Mosif on the Gra. What do those three words symbolize? Esav, love, and Yosef. Those are the three tsaras that all Bnei Yisrael have in history. Esav, the enemies that want to kill us physically. The Germans, the Crusades, you name it. Purim, Haman, Lavan, those who want to kill us spiritually. Stalin, the Hanukkah story, many throughout. Those are two types of tsaras, external enemies. But then you have the Yud, Yosef. What are the Yosef tsaras? The inner fighting amongst Jews. The sinas chinam that we do to each other. And that's the most painful, because that's the one that we control and we still haven't figured out how to solve it. But we have to do what we can to be able to connect back to each other, to solve the Yosef Tzaras, to have Avas Chinam. So we have to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu Batara Tchila, we have to come back to each other. And finally, we have to reconnect to ourselves. We have to reconnect and go to the root of who we are. Remember the Rabbi Tzadok? This we've learned before. Kishem Shatzarech Adam Lahamin Vashem Yisparach. Just like there's a mitzvah to believe in Hashem, there's a mitzvah to believe in yourself. Kach Tzarech Acher Kach Lahamin Ba'atzmo. Ratzel Amar Sheish Vashem Yisparach Isak Yimo V'sheina Paul Batal Shmin Laila. Hashem believes in us. Hashem knows that we could do it. But we just have to figure out and connect to that potential that we have inside of us. Another amazing story. This is from a shir I gave last year, so I put a bunch of stories in. One more. Rav Weinrib. You know the Rav Weinrib story? It's the with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It's Rav Weinrib, but Tirsch Weinrib is a big psychologist and rabbi, and works for the OU, and works for a lot of different, he had a big shul in Baltimore for many years. Anyway, when he was a young psychology student, and he got smicha also. He wasn't sure what to do. He lived in Baltimore. He wasn't sure whether to go into psychology full time or become a rabbi. He wasn't sure. So he had a friend who was Chabad. So his friend said, "Why don't you call the Rebbe?" He's like, "I've never spoken to the Rebbe in my life. I don't know who the." He's like, "Call the Rebbe. The Rebbe always has good advice." He says, "Okay." So he called the Rebbe. I did that in those days. So he called the Rebbe, and the Rebbe, Rebbe Weinrib tells a story that he the Rebbe's secretary answered. And he was speaking to the secretary in Yiddish. He said, "I have a question for the Rebbe." So he says, "Yeah, what's your question?" He says, "Yeah, I'm in psychology. I'm not sure if I should go into the rabbinate or not." So he hears this psychologist. He says, "And who is this?" He says, "A Yid from Baltimore. A Yid from Baltimore. A Jew from Baltimore." That's it. That's what he told him. "I'm not sure what to do." So he hears the secretary tell the Rebbe, "You know, there's a Yid from Baltimore that's calling that wants to know. He's a psychology and the rabbinate. He wants to know, you know, what to do." So he hears the Rebbe say in Yiddish, "Tell him that there's a Jew in Baltimore named Weinrib, and he should try to find him and talk to him." So the secretary says to Rabbi Weinrib, "He says that there's somebody in Baltimore named Weinrib that you should talk to." So he says to the secretary, "Ich bin Weinrib." He says, "What just happened?" He says, "I'm Weinrib. What's the Rebbe talking about? How did the Rebbe know that?" And the secretary then was shocked. Like, he knew he didn't say his name. He says, "Ich bin Weinrib." So here's the secretary tell the Rebbe, "Zu is Weinrib. Weinrib's on the phone." See, here's the Rebbe tell him, so maybe he should spend more time talking to himself. Maybe he should spend more time talking to himself and trying to figure out the right answer. Because we have to connect to ourselves to bring back, to bring the churban into chibur. And we could do it. We have to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to come back to each other. And we have to come back to ourselves. So just to sum up, the Churban was breaking, but it wasn't pulverizing. It was Churban type 2. It wasn't destroying, it was separating. We've been separated, we need to connect back. Connect back to ourselves, connect back to each other, connect back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are the three Gemaras to get reconnected. And the Brisker Rav says, we have to make sure we do that and believe in that and hope for that every day. And just to end with one cool thought, I forgot who says it, but if you look in Shmoneh Esrei, every bracha ends off with something, a summary declaring something about Hashem. You are the Goel. You are the Rofe. Right, everything is about Hashem. The last one is talking about what Hashem does, except for one. Yerushalayim yerchav rachamim tashuv. This is kon besocha kasher dibarta. Uvenayosa built it. Begar v'mina binyan olam. V'chisei David. I'm sorry, that's a different shot. The next bracha. Etzemach David avdecha meheret atzmiach. Right. Etzemach David. V'karno tarom bishuasecha. Lift up his carrot. Kili shuascha kivinu kol hayom. Because you're Yeshua, we hope for every day. Why are we talking about us? You just say Hashem should bring the Yeshua. Why do we focus on Kilishu Ascha Kivinu Kalayom? So someone explain. Maybe Rav Aaron Soloveitchik is going to remember. Because the Yeshua of Hashem is not totally on Hashem. It's totally on us. It's totally how much Kivinu we have. The Lishu Ascha is going to come when we have Kivinu. And that's why, I should have asked this as a question, we have Dalo Lishonos of Geula. Fotesi Vitalti Shonos of Geula. Why isn't there a fifth? Vahoshati. Vayosha Hashem. We Hashem saved us at Kriyas Yamsuf. Why isn't there a fifth Lashon? Vahoshati. Because Hashem couldn't promise that to us. Because that was totally. If we have the key, which is looking towards, is to see how much we have Kivinu. Kilishuascha, the more there's Yeshua, is only going to be based on Kivinu Kalhayom. Let us try to realize, maybe this year it's a little bit easier, to realize that we need the Geula, that we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to solve this epidemic, to bring the Tsaros to an end. So Yehi Ratzon, that we merit that soon. We have a lot of Kivinu, and it will be Zocha to the Yeshua.